Hello, this is Rob Randall, and we're so grateful today that you've tuned in. Thank you for your time. And we want you to know we've been praying for you. We've been praying that God would take His Word and apply it to all of our hearts who would receive it. Ask the Lord to speak clearly to you concerning any obstacle in your life that is keeping you from Him. Let me ask you simply to ask the Lord to be your teacher and your guide. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust you to do what we cannot do for ourselves. And we ask you, Lord, that you would heal the brokenhearted today, that you would bring recovering of sight to the blind. Lord, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you would be God in our lives today. So help us walk in the freedom that you bought for us at Calvary. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now let's open our Bibles. You may want to take notes. Let's get right to today's study of the invisible war.
The whole issue of spiritual warfare is not a power encounter. It's a truth encounter. The power has already been established at Calvary. The enemy was defeated by Jesus. The issue is not power. We'll see that as we go into our study. So, I went before the Lord. The flesh hates this, folks. Let me just warn you. The flesh hates this kind of study and this kind of work before the Lord. But I did. I knew I had to. And so I began to write down every time that I believed I had been deceived of the enemy. It took 2 hours. A long list. He showed it to me. I was so exhausted, it's like major surgery, that I went to take a nap. And I got in bed, and about 15 minutes, he woke me up again. He said, "We're not done yet." I said, "Lord, we are done. I can't do this anymore." He says, "You must do it. You come into my presence again." I said, "Lord, to be in your holiness that long will consume me." You remember the picture of Raiders of the Lost Ark? When they opened up that ark and it just melted them, that's the way I felt. I felt like, "Lord, your holiness is going to destroy me. I am so dirty. I am so unclean before you. Your righteousness will just consume me. I can't do this." He said, "Yes, you can. You come in the name of Jesus. You put your armor on. You come into my presence." And he says, "I want you to write down Ephesians 4:26-27. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, for you will give the devil a place." The word is topos. You'll hear it in the study many times. It literally means typography. We get the word typography from it. It simply means a place to stand. A place for the enemy in your life to do his stealing, killing, and destroying. He says, "I want you to begin to write." He says, "You don't have to go on a witch hunt." He said, "I'll show you where it is. I want you to begin to write as I tell you. I'm going to show you every day when you let the sun go down on your anger and you disobeyed my word. There you will find the work of the enemy in your life." Folks, there's one remedy for sin, and it's not forgetting it. It's not trying to fix it yourself. There is one remedy for all sin, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus. It must be taken at Calvary if we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you don't take it there, it won't be cleansed. And the enemy knows it. You go ahead and try to fix your own disobedience, and you will open doors to the enemy in your life as I had done. Well, by this time, I was more than exhausted. I went to bed that night. The Lord woke me up early the next morning. He said, "We're not done yet." I said, "Lord, I can't take any more. I can't do it." And I began to weep. I said, "Lord, I can't take it anymore. I've got to assimilate and work through this stuff. I can't do this." He said, "Yes, you can and you must." So he said, "Write down the armor of God. Ephesians 6. Write every piece. Sword of the Spirit. Breastplate of righteousness. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Helmet of salvation. All of the pieces of armor." He said, "Write each one down." He said, "I'm going to show you every day in your life when you didn't have your armor on. When you preached people to be righteous, but you weren't righteous yourself. when you preach that the Word of God is the Word of God, but you didn't want to believe it yourself. I'm going to show you those areas in your life, and you confess it to me. Now, confession simply means to agree with God that when He speaks, He's right and we have been wrong. It means to agree with Him. So I, as He told me to write it, I confessed it. He cleansed me. That was a deep, deep cleansing. I was so exhausted. That was Saturday night. We couldn't come to church. When I don't come to church, there's something wrong. I love church. I'm at church every night of the world, just about. And thank God. I love the singing. I love the worship of God's people. I love the fellowship. I love it. Okay? You don't have to talk me into it. I love to be with the people of God. And so, sure enough, we didn't get to go that next morning because I couldn't get out of bed, quite frankly. I had been through a day and a half of cleansing and just couldn't take any more physically. It was just excruciating. But we have Sunday night services. And so here we came. And while we were sitting in the sanctuary, I turned to my wife and I said, "Honey, I do not know all that God is doing, but it is impossible for me to believe that God would be doing this work in my life without doing something in your life. Whatever it is, we're one flesh. There's no way around that. And so, whatever He wants to do in your life, would you please allow Him to do it?" Well, sure enough, that started three more days of cleansing in her life and in our life. But let me simply say to you, there is no shortcut. If you want a mantra, if you want some kind of a quick fix for your family, you're not going to find it. It is a battle. The good news, however, is it's won. We do not fight toward victory. We fight from victory. And you say, "Rob, why do we have to fight if it's already won? If this battle is already won, why are we in this fight?" Well, two reasons. I asked the same question. Two reasons that I came up with. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what is faith? The evidence of things not seen, the invisible. What it is, folks. It's believing what God has said is true. And I want to say to you up front, the Bible does not debate the existence of demons. It's not a matter of what you want to believe or what we don't want to believe. As I have told my children, as I believe with all of my heart wherever I preach, you will be judged by the same Word of God I will be judged by. So even if we don't see them, they're still there. Why? God's Word says so. The evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, and whatever's not of faith is sin. So the journey is about faith. Learning to walk by faith and not by sight. We're not good at that, are we? At least I'm not. I'm learning. And the other reason is, without the war, there's no crown. And we're going to lay our crowns at Jesus' feet. There is a victor's crown. And I want that for you. I want that for me. So we can lay it at Jesus' feet. He is worthy. What a sad reality would it be for the church to come into His presence defeated, whooped, emaciated, fallen. He's given us the victory in Him. In 1 Timothy 4:1-5, the Spirit explicitly says, "In the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of hypocrisy and liars seared in their own consciences with a branding iron." The time prior to Christ's coming, there will be seducing spirits. There will be doctrines of demons. Now, these demons are teaching demons. Their assignment is in terms of doctrine. Now, there are two mentioned here in the text. One is forbidding to marry. Does that sound familiar? It's okay to live together. You don't have to be married. It's a doctrine of a demon. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." We all have had encounters with the darkness. Especially preachers. If you'll get us in the right moment and somebody brings it up and we're safe enough to talk about it, it'll come forth. You've been in places where the skin crawled. You just realize this isn't where you needed to be. This is not a happy place. This is not a good place. Well, let me say to you, there are a lot of arguments historically. Let me just mention them to you very quickly. After Pentecost, these demon manifestations are not seen again. The argument follows that since signs and wonders were only assigned to the Jews as they would recognize their Messiah, once the ministry of the Lord was finished on the earth, the days of signs and wonders ended. It is concluded that demon manifestations are linked to signs and wonders, and they have ceased for today. Just a casual student of the Bible will find the church involved in the practicing of casting out demons after Pentecost. And we see in the church history, Hermas, Clement of Rome, you find in their writings, Tertullian, a Roman theologian and apologist, let a person be brought before your tribunals who is plainly under demoniacal possession, the wicked spirit forbidden to speak by a follower of Christ, will as readily make the truthful confession that he is a demon, or elsewhere he is falsely asserted that he is a god, or if you will let there be produced one of the god possessed as they are supposed, if they do not confess in their fear of lying to a Christian that they are demons, then and there shed the blood of that most impudent follower of Christ. Tertullian, Justin Martyr, 100, 165 A.D., Origen, Cyprian, we can go on, Eusebius, Thomas Aquinas, John Calvin, Martin Luther, the Puritans, all in church history you find the casting out of devils. It just seems to be in this generation we have been amazingly impudent spiritually in this regard. The testimony of revival history, as I mentioned, the Shantung Revival and the Welsh Revival of the 1930s, you see the report of casting out demons. Argument two, if you can't see it, touch it, feel it, taste it, it's not real. Now, this argument is the result of a synthesis of several philosophies that have characterized much of the Western education in the past 50 years. These philosophies include progressivism, social Darwinism, and pragmatism. What we see it and know it as is the prevailing philosophy in education today called relativism. There is no truth. It is only as you perceive it, what you believe is your business, but there's no absolute truth. We see it in every fabric of our society because it's been taught now for decades and decades. Things can only be real if they can be verified by physical realities as we define them. The scientific method is based upon this philosophy of relativism. Modern medical procedures and medicines have their foundations in the scientific method. You know what it is? The conclusions of realities are based upon the experiments where the parameters are verifiable in a strict laboratory conditions. The philosophy presupposes that if the results of such experiments draw the same conclusion the majority of the times, then probability, truth, can be based upon probability. That's why when you see on the TV this promotion of drugs, there's a disclaimer on the bottom. It'll make you feel better, you'll find life again, but it also might ruin your kidneys. It might cause you to have a heart attack. You know, there's a disclaimer out there, right? Because it's not true all the time. And that's where we are as a society. So, let me move on. Argument number three. If we don't bother the devil, he won't bother us. Now, you'd be amazed how many of your families buy into this one. This is too spooky. You know, let me say this up front, and please hear this. Write it down. Memorize it. When fear comes over you, and this is one of the enemy's tactics, throw back to him, the Lord has not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Give him back the word. Resist him with the word of God, and he'll stop that foolishness. Okay? In fact, I believe the only thing we have to be fearful of is our ignorance. And there's a bunch of that going on. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Argument number four, it really isn't biblical. It's some kind of emotional response to outdated superstitions of those who have not been well educated. But let me simply say to you, it is Bible. In fact, I do not believe that you can ignore this study and say you believe the Bible. I've come to conclude that. There's a wonderful man who came to me. He's not from this land. That's why this is so profound to me. This is something I don't think we could come up with. He learned his spiritual warfare not in his theological education, but he was a pilot in the Swedish Air Force. And he came to me when he saw the book. He wanted to talk to me about it, set me down. He was thrilled. He was thrilled. Finally, somebody's addressing this. He said, Rob, I'm convinced a Christian cannot be a mature believer until they know how to cast out demons. Now, that's a profound statement of which I was blown away by, but I think he may be onto something. Argument number 5. Now that we're saved, we don't have to deal with these things. Doesn't the Bible say that we are to flee from the very appearance of evil? No study of these matters is necessary. We shouldn't give the devil that much attention. We ought to just focus on Jesus. Now, there are those who have argued that to me. Just think on Jesus. It's not written to non-believers. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's written to the church. Be sober. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand. What does that mean? Not fall. Put on the full armor of God. Why? Be strong in the Lord. And that's written to the church. This war is about the church. Only the church. Are you listening? Only the church who is born again, who has the Spirit of God dwelling within us. Only the church can exalt the name of Jesus. Only the church. Only believers can praise and worship Him as He has created us to worship. Well, who is this one we call the devil? Who is this one whose name is Satan? Well, his name is Lucifer, son of the morning. He's an angel. We find the story in Isaiah 14. He said, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. He was a highest-ranking cherubim. God's angelic kingdom is established in ranks, just much like our military. The higher rank in our military means you have more responsibility, more authority, as it were, and it's the same way in God's kingdom, all right? The angelic kingdom. And by the way, Satan does not create anything. He can only mimic the Creator. And so he literally mimics, he mocks what God has done. And so Lucifer had the highest rank and possessed the greatest power and authority as an angel. He became envious of the praise and glory to God. Being an angel wasn't enough. Being responsible to God for the great authority and power that he was given wasn't enough. He wanted it all. His great sin, the Bible tells us that a third of the angels, how many is that? A bunch. A third of the angels, and I like this, there are two good ones for every bad one. Okay? Always remember that. However bad they are, there are two good ones to every bad one. And a third of the angels followed this rebellion in the heavens and began to worship Satan. He evidently lied to them and offered them more power than they had. Whatever happened, we're not told all the details. But we are told in Jude that the angels that left their first estate are doomed and damned. There is change reserved in judgment to that great day. And these are what we know as demons, what we call as demons. They are fallen angels. They are doomed, they are damned, and they know it. They're just seeing if you know it. And most of us are so confused, they're just playing around. And when I say playing around, with our minds, with our families, with our kids, even to the point of destruction. Some years back, I conducted a revival meeting in a small fishing village in the Gallatin Valley in Montana. While sharing a wonderful meal, sweet fellowship in the Lord with our host family, they said, Rob, would you please pray for our daughter? I said, what's going on? Well, she's rebellious. She slips out at night. She's sleeping around. She's on drugs. She curses us. She won't go to church anymore. She's listening to all kinds of filthy music. We don't know what to do. We've tried everything. Would you please pray for our daughter? Now, at that time, this was years ago, I had not taken this journey. But I had already learned that wherever you find rebellion, you find demons. I want you to listen to me. God has established His order in the heavens and the earth. The pastor has been appointed by the Holy Spirit over the flock. Acts 20. The husband is to be the head of the home, the priest of his home. God established that. And whatever God establishes, whatever God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. The Bible is very clear. And so wherever you find rebellion, rebellion in the church, when you find men that are called, they think, to tell the preacher what to do, to tell him what to preach, to run the show, you will find demons. You can count on it. You can absolutely count on it. When you find rebellion in the home, little Johnny's not just going through a stage. If it's rebellion, it's a work of the enemy. It's a work of the enemy. And so, I asked the couple, I said, has your daughter ever been involved in witchcraft? I'm not here to spook you, I just wonder. Has she ever been in witchcraft? And they looked at each other and said, no, we don't think so. That's all right, forget I asked the question. I wasn't here to spook you. Well, they called me back to their home the next day. They said, Brother Rob, you asked us if our daughter was in witchcraft. We had never put it together until you asked the question. Last night we were talking. There was an English teacher in her high school that for the term project of this English class, they were to order a book of spells. And the final project was to make a report on how to cast spells. That's when our daughter became someone we do not recognize. I said, you're not dealing with your daughter. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. You're wrestling with the forces of darkness. Well, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Not here to spook you. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. And when you see that stuff, it ought to encourage you that God is at work. God is so faithful to come and to clean these matters up when we ask Him. But you have not, because you ask not. Father, thank you so much for everyone that you have brought this way. We asked you to bring those that would please you to have this study, who needed it the most. And Lord, he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. We believe that. And so as we open up our hearts and begin to take this journey of cleansing for our own lives, for ourselves, we pray that the Spirit of God would protect the work of the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that the enemy would not be able to snatch away that which you have sown in our hearts. We will not fear. Lord, we will gladly walk by faith. It's not easy, but you've taught us in your word to do so. And so, Lord, teach us what we need to know. Help us. And I pray through this study, a mighty move of God would begin to take place in this place. May the refiner's fire come and make us what you created us to be. Lord, may we become like the Lord Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Rob. We'll pick up the next part of this topic next time as we continue in this series on The Invisible War. The Invisible War is more than just a weekly radio program. It is a lifetime commitment to helping you become a man or woman who experiences a life of freedom and fulfillment. This only happens as you completely turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ and trust in Him to completely work in your life. There has obviously been a lot of ground that was covered today, and you may not have been able to catch everything, or you just want to hear it again. Well, we have many different options for you so you can get these valuable resources. Go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll be able to find all the books on this topic. Hear today's broadcast again. Sign up to receive a weekly podcast. Find out about upcoming crusades in your area with Rob Randall. Even schedule a crusade with Rob, a place to share your prayer request, and a ton more. So go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll find everything you need to help you on this journey. We also have a toll-free number where you can call us so we can talk to you, pray for you, and encourage you. The number is 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. And now, here's Rob with some closing words for us today.
This is Rob Randall. Thank you so much for your listening today. We're deeply honored to be able to bring this teaching to you. We pray that the Holy Spirit of Almighty God would not only teach us, but apply His truth into those areas where all of us need healing. This is about all of our journey. And so we're grateful. We pray that you will find hope and encouragement in the journey. Let us know how we can pray for you. Visit us at theinvisiblewar.org. There'll be plenty of opportunities there on the website where you can email us, let us know of your concerns, let us know of your questions, let us know how we can minister to you. Let me also say to you, we have a toll-free number. It's 877-808-8886. That's 877-808-8886. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless you today, and remember, it was for freedom He came to set us free. Do not settle for anything less than freedom in Jesus.